title of this message today is Thanks to Calvary. Mark chapter 14 says it this way. And as they were eating, he took the bread, and after blessing it, he broke it. He gave it to them. Take, this is my body. He took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them. They drank all of it. And he said to them, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it in the new kingdom of God. Well, the story goes on as they're leaning in and they're all excited and they can't see anything but roses and a great future. And right in the middle of that, it said they sang a hymn just like we did today, and they all went to the Mount of Olives. And Jesus said along the way, he said, by the way, this is Mark's, all the accounts are just a fun if you read them all for the comparison, but this is Mark's account, and some of the details may be a little different, but it gets at the same spot. He says, I want to tell you, some of you are going to fall away from me. He said, it's going to happen right now, and he said, even after I'm raised up, he said, you're going to fall away. And Peter said, even though they all fall away, I'm not. You can count on me. He looked at Peter. He said, truly, I'm going to tell you this. Before the night's over, you're going to deny me twice. Not only did Peter deny him twice, he denied him to a little girl. And then he was afraid of what was going on. So the word says he goes up, he's walking up, and it's going to a prayer time. Now, in this walk to prayer time, remember, how many people were around the table with Jesus? 12 of them were there. 12 of them were there. Now, out of the 12, he then took three. Now, notice the number progression. He fed 5,000, but only 500 followed him after the lunch. He had 12 disciples, but only three went further into the garden. And finally, when it came time at the cross, only one stood at the cross. The story is, the closer you get to the cross, the smaller the crowd becomes. So to be deemed worthy of making the leg of that journey with him is an honor to us today. In verse 32 in that chapter, when they went to the place called Gethsemane, he said to the disciples, sit here while I pray. He took with him Peter and James and John. Remember, he said he took three, left the others. He was greatly distressed. His spirit, this thing was churning inside of him. He knew what was ahead. They had no clue. He was troubled. And he said to them, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here. And what did he say? And watch. And then the next few words I find very amazing. He makes the statement in the way Mark writes it. He said, and going a little further. Stop right there. And going, how many of you know that wasn't just a little further? Mark still didn't quite understand it, but I want you to know something today. You may feel overwhelmed. You may feel that nobody knows your name. But I want you to know on this Good Friday of 2022, Jesus went a little further for you. He went a little further. He could have stayed with the boys. He could have had a story, but he went further for you. He made the journey right now. He fell to the ground, he said, and he prayed, if it's possible, that this hour may pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, which means my own Father, he said. All things are possible for you. Remove this, remove what? This cup from me. Now remember, what did he have in his hand a few hours ago? A cup in his hand. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. Wine was not in that cup. In that cup was sin and death. And that cup did not belong to him. It belonged to you. That cup belonged to me. I was destined to drink that cup. But Christ drank it for us. This is the Good Friday story coming together. And I feel that really at that moment was the beginning of Good Friday. And it was for us. Because this would be our only hope for salvation. See, because I want to remind you on Good Friday, and you need to remind yourself whenever you think you've got everything sailing and working right. In ourselves, we can do nothing. Jesus even said that. He said, I am the vine. You're the branches. Without me, you're nothing. You're going to dwindle. You're going to die. There'll be no nourishment. There's nothing. People may say, I'm living the good life. I'm kind. I do the religious traditions. I give money to the poor people. I do this. I'm sweet to people. I help old ladies across the street, and I buy cookies from the little Girl Scouts. But how many of you know we can say all those things? But you can't try to be good to earn a spot. You can't try to be good to earn the spot. You are good because that is the outflow of who you say you have followed and taken into your life. And that is the result of what is on the outside. You see, because you understand, you can't be good on the outside to earn a spot on the bus. It's a heart issue. Why? Because outside in will never work. Trappings do not work for your salvation. Words do not work for your salvation. When you're facing heart issues, it's got to begin on the inside, and the inside is what affects the words. Even the words you say begin down on your inside. The thoughts begin on your inside, which then create actions. So it is not the opposite, but religion tells you it is the opposite. Timothy Keller said it this way: religion doesn't get rid of self-justification, self-centeredness, self-absorption at all. You understand? That's where we are in the world today. We justify ourselves. We're self-centered. We are self-absorbed. It really doesn't strengthen and change the heart, he says, because that is outside in. So the trappings mean nothing as far as our salvation is concerned. The doing good, the speaking the kind words, come after we have had a heart change. That's why we sing, on a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. And he went to the cross not as a victim, but he went as a volunteer for us today. Why did he do that? Because our sinful nature was sinful. They tell us we shouldn't define a word by the word itself, but it's hard to do any better than that. Our sinful nature was sinful. Our sinful nature was sinful. No matter how hard we try, our sinful nature is sinful. What happens? This resulted in the sentence of death that would separate us from God. This is why we even get to Good Friday. Our sinful nature resulted in a death sentence that would separate us from God. Why? Because the word tells us that he who knew no sin absorbed sin. He became sin. He drank that cup so that we might become the sons of God. Happy Good Friday. Now, that death was our normal life sentence. Sunday morning, I'm going to tell you the story that thanks to Easter, normal is never coming back. So remember that. So in verse 43, it says, immediately while he was still speaking, the thing with Judas happens. Judas comes up, and Judas is putting on a show, an outward show. And he walks up in between them, but behind him, they've got priests. They got religionists, by the way. These are just arrogant, pharisaical people. How many of you know it's that type of person that will try to stop the word? He walked up. The betrayer walks up and kisses him. He said, Rabbi, and he kisses him. They laid hands on, they seized him. One, which was Peter, he didn't tell the story, but at that point, Peter drew his sword, cut off the ear of one of the guys. Verse 48, Jesus said to them, have you come out against a robber with swords and with clubs to capture me? Day after day, I was with you. I was with you in the temple, he said, but you did not seize me. But Jesus said, but let the scriptures be fulfilled. Chapter 15, he's delivered to Pilate. They bound Jesus. They led him away. He said, one encounter, he said, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus just answered, you've said so. But the word says in verse 5, he made no further answer, so that Pilate was amazed. Talk about that control, but he was the Good Friday was already working. Verse 6, this really to me is one of the more awful points of the story. At the feast, he used to release for them one prisoner for whom they asked. Among the rebels in prison, now notice that sentence right there, a rebel in prison. But the people who were religious and the leaders, because they didn't want the message that Jesus had, they decided that they would rather a rebel, a prisoner rebel, a killer rebel released on the streets. And you'd say, that never happens. Look at your newspaper today. You've got people right now. If you saw what happened to poor people in China right now, you've got people right there that are leaders that are doing awful things to people, and they're doing it with great piety, with great honor, saying, this is, we are loving, we are taking care of it. No. That is demonic. It is dystopian. It's demonic. It's from hell. You say, that can never happen. We're living it again today. Among them was a rebel. He'd committed murder at an insurrection. Seen an insurrection over the last few years? Man, it just repeats itself. He was called Barabbas. The crowd in a frenzy came up and began to ask Pilate to do something for them. He said, what is it? He said, you want me to release for you the king of the Jews? But this is what we see today. This is demon possession. He perceived. In other words, it started bugging him, though. It bothered him. Other translations go a little bit deeper on the emotions probably that he was going through at the time. But he realized he was dealing with something really crazy. Something really demonic right there. And he said, and Mark even said, he realized or perceived that it was out of envy. It was out of envy that the priest decided to deliver him up. Notice it was the priest that did this. He said again, what should I do with the man you call king of the Jews? Crucify him. Pilate said, what? What evil has he done? They got even louder. We're living this, y'all. We're seeing this today. We're seeing this today. What charge? Kill him. There's no listening. There's no listening. They don't even. It's just there is a rage that is a. And what is that? That is the nature. He died for that nature. Even that was in the cup that he drank. That spirit that you see then and you still see right now. This shows the intensity of the depravity of sinful man. That they will look at a man that they cannot even find a charge. But because there's a frenzy and the mob mentality takes over, people do things, they break things, they tear things up, they burn things, they tear things down. They don't even know why, but there is a thing driving a man. There's a thing inside a man. And Jesus, that's what the fear of death was an exciting thing. But when he saw that awfulness of death that he was going to have to take, and he was tempted in so many, but he never sinned once. Because he knew that once he took that, there would be a moment in time. A moment in time, because of who God was, that Father God would turn his back on him. You don't want God to turn his back on you. Thanks to Calvary. Thanks to Calvary. I have that promise today. Like today's mob rule, they didn't want to hear the truth. The truth, you see, conflicted with the frenzied of their fevered flesh. Cancel culture is nothing new. It's right here. How do you know that? Because he's tap dancing to the crowd. Verse 15. This is pathetic. So Pilate, wishing to, quote, what does it say? Satisfy the crowd. King James right there says, willing to content the people, it said. New King James says, to gratify the mob. But the truth is, all done to appease the mob. And he released for them Barabbas, and I wrote in parentheses, Barabbas was the demonic substitution at that moment. And then they scourged Jesus. And if that wasn't enough, it says, and then he delivered and be crucified. The scourging. That's a whip with many, many pieces to the whip. And at points of the whip, they would have metal, almost like fish hook type things. They would have rock. They would have sharp things in it. They would have things that would cut, and they would take, and they said that by the time that someone was finished, the skin was actually peeled away so much, especially from the back and the side, that you could see the rib cage, you could see the lungs, you could see every there. And the script, one of the translations says that when they got through with Jesus, that it said his appearance was marred. He did not even look like a human anymore, and skin and bone, and it's hanging there. One philosopher wrote it this way. He called scourging the cruelest and the most hideous punishment possible. Why? Because you stayed alive through it. It'd have been a lot better, man. Just kill me now. Get it over with. Happy Good Friday. He saw that. He saw that in the cup. But he said, not my will. I'm going to do it because it's your will, oh God. So they mocked him. The soldiers led him away. Finally, verse 17, they clothed him in a purple cloak, twisted together a crown of thorns, and they put it on him, and they began to salute. Hail, King of the Jews! They weren't honoring him. They were ridiculing him. This was sarcasm. King of the Jews, he's beat, he's whipped, he's standing, and all the time he is silent. They began to strike him on the head with reeds. They spit on him. They knelt down in homage to him. In other words, just trying to be really smart aleck about it and just ridiculing him. They mocked him. They stripped him down of the purple cloak, and they put his own clothes back on him. They led him out to crucify him. They compelled a passerby, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming from the country. He was the father of Alexander and Rufus. Good Friday, tell me something good. Right there. They helped carry the cross. They brought him to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. They offered him wine mixed with myrrh. Now, why was that? That was to temporarily deaden the pain. That was something they would give them just a little bit to help deaden the pain. You know what he did? He refused it because he was going to drink the whole cup. He was going to drink the whole cup. Historians down there, well, you know, he drank that and he really didn't feel anything after that. And they kind of just knocked him out and just dope. No. He refused that. He did not take it. They crucified him. They divided his garments among them, cast lots for them. They decided what each would take. Even at the crucifixion, they're demeaning him by dispersing his belongings. I mean, the demeaning of that situation. It was the third hour when they crucified him. That's why we gather on this day at this time. The inscription across the top. By the way, there was a traditional. It was traditional to put the inscription of who it was and why they were dying. They couldn't find a charge, so they put King of the Jews. Again, ridiculing. Good Friday. Two robbers were. One was on his right. One was on his left. Those who passed by would make fun of him. They'd wag their heads, treat him with contempt and derision. They'd say, you would destroy the temple in 3 days later and save yourself. You can save yourself. Why don't you come on down from the cross? Why don't you do tricks for us? Chief priests and the scribes mocked him to one another. Again, they are this frenzy of flesh is brewing inside of them. But I do want you to know that while this was brewing, all heaven's rumbling at the same time. Don't you know that the angels are standing there looking over the side? Just let me at them right now. No, just send one of us down there. Just one of us. We'll clean this thing up pretty quick, and there's going to be a bunch of dead people. Why don't you send? Don't you know what it was like in heaven? They're looking over the top saying, you know, God, why are you letting this go on? And God just puts his hand like, you know, this is part of the plan. Don't you know? Just send Michael over there. He'll kick it and take names. He'll wipe them out. But he let it happen. They said, let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross that we may see and that we may believe. Those who were crucified with him were also reviled. There's a whole other story there. Boy, I wish I had time to, maybe one year we'll talk about the guys on both sides there. What a great story that is. What a great story that is. You know, one of them, he went down with the ship. He decided he was so demon possessed, he just took it. The other one looked over at him. He didn't go to Sunday school one time. He never gave one offering. He never walked down one aisle one time. But there was something out of his heart and his mouth that Jesus said, that man's got a heart. And he looked at him and said, you going with me on his trip, pal? Imagine that. Boy, does that really mess up the mindset of the Pharisees and the religious folks and the high priest. He didn't jump through hoops. He didn't jump through our hoops. He's not going to heaven. But if the Lord God Jesus Christ has cleansed you, Paul learned that story a little bit later on. You guys can do this religion act here, but if God says you are clean, and you are clean. No matter who you are, clean. How'd that happen? It started on Good Friday for me and for you. I hope I'm drawing the good picture for you. He saved us. I want to say one thing. When I read these stories here about he saved himself, he saved others, we want to see him. I have something that I do, and I've been doing it for many years, and it's most of the time on my notes. If I have the scriptures down, most of the Bible translations, I guess because out of convenience or whatever, do not capitalize the personal pronouns like he, him, his, you know, and they don't do that. That bothers me, okay? Especially now if we can tell them what pronoun we want to be called. You know, Yeah, we can tell them now. But it bothers me that even in the good translations, it's not. So I go meticulously through my notes in my reading. I can show them to you. I got them right here. And each time I find he, him, his, you know what I do every time? I capitalize the H. I do it. Nobody sees it. I do it for me. And I do it in honor. And it's just a little, you know, when they were writing some of the scriptures, they tell us that they every time they'd write his name, they'd go wash themselves again and get a new garment and a new pen because they weren't worthy to even write that name. I can stop long enough just as a prayer. And I've done this personal for years and years right now. And I do this to remind me, and I say it to you to remind you, he was real. There was a he. He was a man, but he was divine right now. So the sixth hour, darkness falls. He cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? That is an exact lift out of Psalm 22. Again, a story for another day. But the ridicule continued. They say, let's see whether Elijah's going to come take you down, pal. Move to verse 37. Jesus uttered a loud cry. This is Good Friday. He breathed his last breath. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom. Why? Because that's where the tear started, from the top. You remember that old covenant, there was a separation between the holy place and the holy of holies, and only one could go in, and that was the high priest. But because of what Jesus did, we read later on that we are all now, because of Good Friday, kings and priests to God. So therefore, we can walk boldly, not arrogantly, not being a wise guy. We walk boldly with humility and bowing before him. We can walk to the throne of grace. So the separation, see, the religious people were getting put out of a job right now. They were getting, there was things changing right in front of their eyes at that very moment when that thing tore right now. Because with this sacrifice, this final sacrifice, the way into God's presence was now open for all, even a thief on a cross who would call on his name. We are all now kings and priests. Happy Good Friday. He said the centurion standing there, and I love this. I'll get to meet this guy one day. The centurion was standing there. He was on duty because that was his job. But as he breathed his last breath, he said, truly, this man was the Son of God. Well, you know the story. The women were, from a distance, they were watching the two Marys. They came. They took him down. Joseph of Arimathea was a respected man. He was actually a member of the council, by the way. When Pilate heard that Jesus was dead, he granted his body to Joseph, and verse 46 said, and Joseph brought a linen shroud, and taking him down, wrapped him in the linen shroud and laid him in the tomb that had been cut out of the rock. That's another whole story, y'all. That's another story. And he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and the mother of Joseph saw where he was laid. By the way, we're not told very much about that particular Mary, by the way. We know that this Mary was the mother of two children, one of whom Jesus chose as a child, meaning James. Some writers identify her as the other Mary. Some historians have even supposed that she might have been the wife of Cleophas or Alphimaeus, or as a sister of Mary, who was the mother of Jesus even. We don't know, but we do know this about her, that she was one of the ladies that had followed Jesus' ministry. Probably she had sufficient wealth, by the way, to actually take care of the needs that were going. And she was one of the ones that, so we don't know a whole lot, but highly likely she was one who had enough wealth to be able to minister to him and the disciples when they were alive and well, with the, taking care of the material things they might need. Boy, you need an advance crew when they came to town. But at this moment, this looked bleak. But the mission was right on schedule. Hell couldn't stop the glory train that had left the station. But it's during these times that I run to the old rugged cross. A week or so ago, Linda and I sat with one of our favorite people, Mr. Gaither. He's written so much. He's been very good to both of us. He was coming to where he was, and gave him a call. He didn't even say hello. He said, I want catfish. That was it. That's all he said. He didn't say hello. He didn't say anything. That was it. I want catfish. But in writing about the story of the cross, he said it this way. He said, the good thing about bad times is that it leads us to the cross. So here we are at a very, very bad time. This bad time is going to lead us to the cross. About 40 years ago, there's a man who is one of the quartet singers. Bill and Gloria wrote a song about his testimony, and they kind of went a little bit further with it. And that's the theme for what I want to give you as you walk out in just a moment right now. It's called Thanks to Calvary. It's a story of a testimony of a man whose life was changed. He lived an awful life. He lived an awful life. He was a drunkard. He beat the kids. He beat the wife. Gambled everything away. But Jesus changed him. And he changed so much the kids weren't even ready to accept. They were afraid that it was just fake. Go on YouTube and you can find one of our friends. His name is Gene McDonald. He's a great bass singer. And go on YouTube and you type in Gene McDonald and Gaither music, and you will see him singing Thanks to Calvary. But the lyric opens up this way. It's a story song, and this was written for that man. He said, today I went back to the place where I used to go. Let me do it right. Today I went back to the place where I used to go. Today I saw the same old crowd I knew before. And when they asked me what had happened, I tried to tell them, thanks to Calvary, I don't come here anymore. The chorus goes, thanks to Calvary, I'm not the man that I used to be. Thanks to Calvary, things are different than before. As the tears ran down my face, I tried to tell them, thanks to Calvary, I don't come here anymore. Then it changes to the family. He said, and then we went back to the house where we used to live of violence and fear. My little boy ran and hid behind the door. I said, son, don't be afraid because you got a brand new daddy. Because thanks to Calvary, we don't live here anymore. Thanks to Calvary, I'm not the man that I used to be. Thanks to Calvary, things are different than before. As the tears ran down my face, I tried to tell them, thanks to Calvary, we don't live here anymore. It's Good Friday. That's Good Friday. That's what he did for me and did for you. No, we're not going to walk out jumping up and down. We jump on Sunday. But I want you to live with this, but I want you to remember the story. The words written by Pastor Bill Goff. He said, darkness fell, his friends scattered, hope seen lost, but heaven was just counting to three. That's all you need to know right now. I am always moved by this commemoration. I am so thankful. Thanks to Calvary, I'm not going to die in my sin. I hope you've stopped today to honor his name. Stand to your feet.